Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And continuing our special coverage now, as we mentioned, Mayor Bill de Blasio is touring areas of New York tonight in his vehicle to get a look at the damage looters caused last night and what we can expect tonight with this new curfew. His Honor, Mayor de Blasio, joining us live on the 1010 Wentz Hotline. Good evening, sir, and thank you for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be with you, and I really appreciate a moment ago listening to that story about the young man that was being a peacemaker there at that rally. We're actually seeing a number of situations where community leaders and even protesters themselves are setting a very peaceful tone, unlike some of the folks who have done violence. There are good people out there, too, trying to make things right.
And that's a good thing to see. Talk about making peace and talking about our leadership now. Mayor, let's get right to it. Governor Cuomo had some pretty tough things to say about your leadership as well as the NYPD's leadership. Specifically, he called the response disgusting. Your thoughts about that tonight? And I know that this is the first time that you're mentioning this here, your response to this. Your thoughts?
Look, he can attack me all he wants. I'm used to it from him. I think he's wrong, and I don't think it's the way to get things done if we're trying to solve a problem. I try to really be respectful of the state's leadership through this pandemic, even sometimes when I disagree, but I just don't think that kind of approach gets anyone anywhere. But that's not the important point. The important point here is he dishonored the men and women of the NYPD in an absolutely inappropriate way for any leader to do, any elected official who blames the NYPD while they were out there fighting in the streets to restore order and protect people. I mean, that's disgraceful, and just I don't understand how anyone could do that.
Now, have
I think he owes an apology to 36,000 hardworking men and women who have been putting their lives on the line for all of us.
Now, let me clarify this. In our reporting today, the governor's spokesman put out a statement saying something to the effect that he wanted to clarify that he wasn't referencing the 36,000 men and women of the NYPD. He says that they do a great job, that he was specifically criticizing you and the head of the NYPD. Does that change your thoughts?
Well, then, first of all, if someone says the NYPD, they refer to the entire organization. If he wanted to say Commissioner Shea, he's a big boy, he could have said Commissioner Shea. So let's not mince words and play games. Someone who's constantly trying to put blame on other people, this is what happens. And so he said the NYPD, he has to own it. It was absolutely inappropriate.
So
and if he
this.
Was trying to say Commissioner, if he's now saying, oh, he's singling out Commissioner Dermot Shea, I say that's dishonorable as well. The commissioner has done an extraordinary job in the NYPD for decades. He's leading the NYPD through one of its most difficult periods in its entire history, and he's doing it, I think, in an incredibly honorable, effective manner, even if there's been some moments where we know we have to do some things differently, we have to do some things better.
Okay.
There hasn't been any loss of life in all of these demonstrations, thank God, and that's because of his leadership. So I just think it's absolutely inappropriate.
So, Mayor, let me ask you this, and Al Jones, my colleague, and I talked about this last night. Let me ask you, why 11 o'clock of all times instead of an earlier time like 7 or 8 in the first place? How did we arrive at 11 o'clock for a start time on that curfew
last
night?
Well, the irony is that was a conversation with the governor yesterday morning, Dermot Shea, Governor Cuomo, and I. We agreed together. And, I just think it is important. We were struggling with the question. And a curfew is a very imperfect instrument. We're concerned about the impact it would have well outside the areas where the problem was, which at that point really had been a very limited area of Manhattan, essentially. We were talking it through as mature adults. came to the consensus that for the first time we were going to do something like this. We wanted a late hour because the real problems have been very late at night. And also, again, we had seen very limited problems previously. What happened last night was a very, very different reality than what we had seen before or expected. Minute we started to see that, we said, okay, we're going to change this scenario. We're going to go to the earlier curfew. And today I made the decision to stay there. And I think that's going to allow us now, now that we've understood a pattern, and honestly, we did not see this pattern Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We didn't see it until Sunday after 9 p.m. Now we understand the pattern. We know it's organized. We know what these people are doing, whether they're the anarchists, whether in some neighborhoods it's gang members or just plain old common criminals. We now have a real bead on what they're about. And now the curfew gives our officers much greater ability to contain the situation. And I can tell you, being out here now, I was at 72nd and 5th Avenue just a short time ago. A lot of protesters out, peaceful. But I'm seeing the streets increasingly clearing as we speak.
Okay.
Clearly, people are getting the word. It's curfew. It's time to go home. And I want to say that to everyone, all New Yorkers. We gave you a lot of notice. Time to go home now. For the protesters, time to go home. Everyone, time to go home so we can keep the city safe.
So, Mayor, let's talk about this National Guard thing. The governor says the state police and the National Guard are on standby to come in and help keep the peace. Do we need them? I mean, we say curfew, and yeah, people are supposed to be heading home at this time, but I think you and I both know there are some who are probably going to stick around. Are we going to need a National Guard presence?
No, I'll tell you something. First of all, the NYPD tonight, let me start, yeah, I'll be very quick. There is no organization that is better at keeping people safe than NYPD. And this, the extraordinary abilities of the NYPD are on full display tonight. We have more officers out than any of the last few days. We have a very specific strategic deployment built around the problems we've seen in the last 48 hours. Traffic is being shut down south of 96th Street in Manhattan. We've asked Uber, Lyft, Via to shut down their service because we saw people using them as part of looting. Citibike shutting down its service was a series of tactical moves that are being made to disrupt the pattern we saw in the last 48 hours. NYPD out in force. So I'm very confident in the NYPD. I can tell you I have deep respect for the National Guard and the state police, but they are not trained for the circumstance. They are not trained for the challenges that come with being in city neighborhoods, understanding how to de-escalate, how to handle really complex, difficult situations. You do not want heavily armed people who are not trained for the circumstance and not from here, because that could lead to an altercation. That could lead to a loss of life that would take the current crisis and make it much, much worse. Okay. I've talked to elected officials all over the city today in communities of color, haven't heard a single one saying that they want the National Guard to come in and take that risk of violence happening by accident that could poison the situation much, much worse.
Well, with what's in place tonight, the 8 o'clock curfew and such, is there any way to predict how long these protests and demonstrations will go on, and how long is the city prepared to continue putting people, personnel, resources on the street to try to remedy things and keep things calm?
I think you're going to see, we've seen this kind of pattern in the past. We really have. There were some very painful moments after the death of Eric Garner, painful moments after officers Ramos and Lou were killed. There's been many moments in the city's history where for days and days it felt like we were in an endless pattern. But usually, honestly, it is a limited period of time. And this has been made worse by the coronavirus crisis. People have been cooped up. There's such deep frustration. All the disparities on display that are horrible. But this is the kind of thing that has its own lifespan. And I think, you know, with the curfew in effect for the rest of this week at 8 p.m., I think you're going to see this change and decrease. And look, I'm very much focused on Monday. Monday's when we restart the city, phase one. A vast majority of people I've talked to, they may care about these issues being discussed in the protests, but they're tremendously focused on the restart and fighting the coronavirus and getting our lives more back to normal.
Is this going to put a damper on that?
I don't think so, based on what I'm seeing now. I just talked to Commissioner Shea before I came on the line with you. We do see some peaceful protests, but again, I expect to see them winding down. We do not see the kind of activity, as at least at this hour, the kind of activity we saw last night in any appreciable way. So that could change. I'm going to constantly update New Yorkers on what I see. But no, I think we're in a position to turn this. It's not going to be overnight necessarily, but over the next few days to turn this situation.
Let's talk about phase one now. I know you sent a 7-point plan to the MTA today suggesting things need, you know, what needs to happen starting Monday. Can you go into detail a little bit what that's going
Absolutely.
To look like?
Yeah, I think it's common sense stuff. I think every bus and subway should have markings on it showing where people should sit or stand and the total number of people that should be in that bus or that subway car or that bus. There should be markings on subway platforms showing you exactly where to stand so everyone keeps distance. There should be free masks provided to anyone who needs it. We're willing to do that. City's willing to step up and do a million masks to begin, and we're going to participate actively in helping to make this happen. These are common sense things for New Yorkers to have confidence that if they go on a bus or subway, they can know it is safe. They need to bring the service up to normal levels. They've got the personnel back. If they want there to be safety on the trains in terms of coronavirus, that has to be very frequent service. So the MTA has an opportunity here. They did something very good when they went to the cleaning overnight. I supported that fully. I announced it with the governor. And I want them to take the next step now and really make these subways feel safe so everyone believes in them again. And that's going to help us back.
Okay, Mayor, some final notes here, and I'm going to go there. A lot of people are drawing parallels between the death of George Floyd and Eric Garner, saying, well, wait a minute, is the mayor really down with us? Or, I mean, considering you've taken a lot of heat over that with people drawing the parallels, can you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm very comfortable saying, based on what I know now, and based on what I experienced with the Justice Department, I made a mistake. I should not have said we would wait on the United States Department of Justice. They asked me to. This was, of course, during the Obama administration. The Department of Justice asked the city of New York and the NYPD to stand back, to not pursue charges, so they could do their own investigation. We believed they were going to act. They never acted. That was a mistake. I have to own that mistake. I hope we never have a situation like that again, but if there ever were, I would call for immediate charges, immediate action. If someone doesn't belong on the police force, we need to get them off the force and get them off the force fast. So I learned a lesson. I want to acknowledge that lesson. I want to acknowledge that mistake. But I hope to never, ever have to apply that knowledge I now have, because I'm working every day. I know Commissioner Shea is too, to repair the relationship between police and community. So you never see a situation like Eric Garner or George Floyd again in this city.
Okay. And one final note. I have to ask you this. I've always wanted to ask, what is it with you two guys, the governor and you, in a city this size and a state this size, where you two tend to go at it, particularly in times like these? It seems to, you know, the claws really seem to come out. Will we see some change in that?
I disagree. We've had differences, undoubtedly, sharp differences. And there are times when I spoke out vividly. But during this crisis, no. I'm very angry at what the governor said about the NYPD. I really am. Again, he can take a shot at me anytime he wants. But that's not the point. When you go on now over 3 full months, he and I actually have agreed the vast majority of the time. We announced that decision on the subway cleaning together. We announced the decision on the June 8th phase one restart together. We've talked a lot. Our teams talk literally multiple times every day and usually find a way to agree on the vast majority of things. So, you know what? He and I have personal differences. We have philosophical differences. But that does not stop us from working together to get things done in a crisis. And in the end, you know what? I've seen cities and states around the country where the cities and states were totally on different pages. That's not the case here. We've been on the same page on the vast majority of things. Look, I thought we should do shelter in place sooner. He wasn't ready at first, but a few days later, he agreed to do it.
But
you know, I wanted to keep the schools closed once we closed them. At first, he didn't agree, but then he agreed to do it. I mean, there's been times where there's been differences, but they all get resolved.
But, Bill, the optics of it, while we watch this is taking place, you don't think that freaks people out sometimes to see the leadership?
I don't think it's ideal. Wait a minute. I don't think it's ideal. I think it would be much better if all political leaders. I feel the same way about the president. I wish I was working with a president that I could have a high, high level of agreement with. I really wish I do, but I don't have that. And I got to work despite that situation. But with the governor, no. I think the fact is that when there are so many areas where we've agreed during this crisis and our teams have worked together, and we've made things happen, and then a few areas of disagreement, that's pretty normal. That's pretty human. So I know people don't like it. I don't blame them. But in the end, we're getting a lot done. Notwithstanding this very inappropriate comment, overwhelmingly, we're getting things done, and that's what matters.
Mayor Bill de Blasio, thank you so much for joining us. You know you're always welcome here, sir, anytime.
That's very kind of you. I appreciate it, and stay safe.
We appreciate it, and our best to your family.